Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Music and Worship Arts here at the church, and it's a joy to be here with you once again this week. This week we're joined by Reverend Eric Meyer as he shares a bit more on our current series, Giving from the Heart.
Scripture this morning comes from the letter of James, chapter 1, starting with verse 19. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserve, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the word. This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God.
So James is sitting in his room, in his house, in a place where he has been ministering for quite some time, and he wants to get this good news out. His life has been radically transformed by experiencing God through Jesus. And he wants more people than just the people in his community to know what he knows. The wisdom, hard-earned, fought-for wisdom. So he writes, from James to the followers of God spread throughout the world, greetings. Hello. Now, whenever anything really bad happens to you, whenever you've been knocked down and somebody feels like they've kicked you in the gut, rejoice. Rejoice. For this is an opportunity for you to draw closer to God. And remember, we all have the ability to learn to control manage our emotions. Thanking God for the strength so that we can keep fear and anger and sadness at bay. Keep in mind that whenever a trial comes along, this is an opportunity to grow in our endurance if we choose to persevere. Now let that endurance grow. Let that endurance achieve its pinnacle, spiritual maturity, so that you will lack in nothing. So that you'll lack in nothing. And having withstood the trial, receive the crown of life that our Lord Jesus promised to all of those who love God. And those are the first few verses, my interpretation, of the letter of James. A letter he sends out to the world. Now, the rest of the writers who wrote the letters that we have in our Bible addressed them to somebody. Paul sent the letter to the Romans. He sent letters to the Ephesians. He sent letters to the Colossians. James. Now, either James has a tremendous amount of audacity or a tremendous amount of faith. He sends a letter to the world and hopes it's going to get there. And there are a lot of people who really would have rather it hadn't have arrived. In fact, Martin Luther, who initiated the Protestant Reformation, did everything he could to keep the book of James out of the Protestant Bible. He said, this has no place in a Christian Bible. He thought a letter that required works, works of faith, had no place in the Bible because Martin was teaching pure grace. And the grace of God is there, but we also have thousands and thousands and thousands of years of experiencing trials and suffering. And most of us, stages of our lives, are much more closely attuned to the suffering than to the pure grace. But still, who wants to read, "Rejoice when you are suffering"? Well, enough people, I suppose, because the letter did arrive. The letter's here today. We opened the envelope and we're reading James today. Perhaps it arrived because enough people read James and experienced the wisdom of God, so they knew that it was more than just words, but these words truly are the wisdom of God. Perhaps it arrived because lives are transformed, and lives that had no right to expect anything, no hope to expect anything, did receive God's grace because they persevered. Perhaps it's in our hands today because many thousands, perhaps millions of people have received that crown of life that James promised through following the wisdom of James. Makes me want to ask, hey, James, what is this crown of life? James was whispering to me this week. He said, "Eric, there's two questions you have to answer first before you can get to the crown of life. I've given you some hints. I've told you how to answer these. But first, you have to understand who God is." And that's a question you should be asking yourself every day. And two, you have to know who you are. And that's also a question you should be asking yourself every day. And I said, "James, help me out here a little bit." He said, you said you're going to give me some clues. He said, "Pick up my book and read." So I did. He says, "Who is God?" God is the living God who makes even the demons believe and shudder. God is the Lord of hosts. God is constant and without change and has nothing to do with evil or human anger. God is the creator of all, who by a word of truth has given birth to humans as first fruits of all creatures and has created them in God's own likeness. Above all, God is defined by the giving of gifts, especially those of mercy and compassion. God is the one who promised the crown of life to those who love God, has chosen the world's poor to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. God is the one who considers true religion to include the visiting of orphans and widows. And God hears the cries of the oppressed. God raises up the sick, listens to the prayers made in faith rather than the prayers of the wicked, forgives the sins of those who confess them. This is a God who approaches those who approach and enters into friendships, even with us. All of this while resisting the arrogance and pride of those who oppress others, packed into five short chapters. Now, equally important is a summary that James doesn't say specifically, but I think this is what he means. God is the one who gives not because we are good. God is the one who gives because God is good. Question number two, who are we? We may start to answer that question by saying our name, saying who our parents were, where we live, where we came from. You might all recognize that I don't quite speak Arkansan. I didn't come from here. I consider myself kind of Minnesotan. But James says, no, that's got nothing to do, Eric, with who you are. James says, we are all blessed because God loves us. We are people of faith in God, a people who can endure troubles because of our faith, a people to whom God grants wisdom because we seek wisdom, a people who experience a relationship with God because we seek a relationship with God, a people who don't need the accolades of the world because we have the accolades of God, A people who can accept trouble and temptation as opportunities to grow closer to God. A people who know that we are blessed because everything we are, every talent we have, every gift we have is a gift from God. A people who can be slow to anger, slow to speak, eager to listen. A people who are welcome, who welcome and live humbly because God is humble. A people who separate ourselves from the expectations of the world because we have the expectations of God. We are merciful and compassionate because God was first merciful and compassionate. We are people who give generously and care for the orphans and the widows of the world because that's who God loves. And we are beloved children of God. That's chapter 1 of James's letter. Now, we may not be there yet. We may be saying to ourselves, self, I got a little work to do. And James says, that's okay, because that is who you are, and that is who you can strive to be. Life doesn't just begin with God the moment we choose to accept God. That's the moment we start living into our relationship with God, a relationship that gets stronger and stronger with every trial, with every temptation, with every challenge, every time we choose to persevere. James says such a person is one who has received the crown of life, such a person who can withstand any storm because they know God. These are the people who give because God gave first. These are the people who are merciful and compassionate because God was merciful and compassionate to them. These are the people who give to even those who don't deserve it because God first gave to them and they know they didn't deserve it. This is spiritual maturity. James even gives us a way to measure how we're progressing. Chapter 3 is, I suppose, his summary of the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God and how we can measure where we stand in between. James says, for those who are wise and comprehending, live peacefully. Any other way of living is wisdom from somewhere else. He said, and if you are bitter and filled with envy and selfish admiration, then at least don't brag about it and tell other people something that's not true to the Word of God. For envy and selfish admiration are wisdom not from above, but wisdom of the world. Wisdom that's unspiritual, wisdom that's devilish even. Those are James's words. He said, wherever you find envy and bitterness and selfish admiration, you will find wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above, the wisdom from God, is first peaceful and then generous and then willing to yield to others and then merciful and compassionate, full of fruit, good fruits, and never, never hypocritical, without a trace of discrimination. Such a person knows the royal law. James calls the royal law loving others as you would have them love you. Loving others as we'd hope they would love us. Now, living that way is a way of sowing peace in the world. And James says, all who sow peace will receive a harvest of peace, a harvest of righteousness, a harvest of loving relationships. Oh, that's a goal to live into. But that's not easy. Giving of ourselves, our fragile lives, is not easy. The world says it's a whole lot easier just to do what the world says. And they're right, it would be a whole lot easier to live just as the world says, except then you get to the point in your life where you realize you're absolutely, utterly miserable and there's nobody to stand with you because you don't have a relationship with God. And you don't have a relationship with your church. You don't have a relationship, a loving set of relationships to lift us up when we're hurting. have some experience with a family that has been through several of the crises that James talks about. They couldn't have children. Miscarriage after miscarriage, and finally enough was enough, and realized that birth is only one way to begin a family. So adoption became a really realistic option. And then it became an exciting option. And then it became a way of life. And then a picture arrived. Beautiful little boy. And they fell in love with that little boy through that picture, even though he lived in a country far away. And through several trips to that country, in many months, they were finally able to hold that little boy in their hands. A little boy they knew had many challenges in life because he'd been abandoned at birth, born with many, many challenges that his parents left him. And when they took him to the first doctor at the U.S. Embassy, the doctor said, "Well, I got good news for you. He's a survivor." Because if this little boy wasn't born a survivor, he wouldn't be here right now. And then there were conversations with doctor upon doctor and therapist upon therapist. And one therapist looked at the mom one day and said, "Why in the world would you adopt a child like this? There's no way that he'll ever live a normal life. Why would you subject yourself to this?" Imagine a therapist saying that to you. See, that's the wisdom of the world. That life should be easy and everything is happy. And it ain't that way. I suppose the mom probably looked at the therapist and said, "Well, see, because I got this picture and I fell in love with him. And that was enough." And the years went by and the challenges continued. Probably never more than a month where there wasn't some significant challenge. Some self-imposed, lots of them self-imposed. But some you just have to grow through. But growing through all of those challenges built endurance and built a strong young man. And today, if you walk through Bentonville with this strong young man, about every third or fourth person raises the hand and shouts and says hello. Started calling him the mayor because he knows more people than you do, Leah. It was at a restaurant where he was working, and the manager came in and sat down at the table where I was at with my daughter, and the manager said, "Are you Garrett Meyer's dad?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I just wanted to thank you for sharing him with us. He is a light that illuminates this restaurant." Oh, let me tell you about joy. And are the struggles over? Not a chance. But we're learning endurance. We're all learning endurance. And God is there. And what this church is a family that can help lift people up when people don't have the strength to stand on their own. Fred Craddock, a pastor of pastors, one of the greatest sermon writers and givers of all time, a man who you would think never, ever had a crisis of faith, said, "Oh, crisis of faith comes for every pastor. And when they come, all you can do is rely on your congregation to lift you up." That is why we are all here, and I hope that is why everyone would be considering pledging to this congregation to keep this congregation strong and healthy. And I realize that when we ask for pledges, it causes financial challenge. Anytime we give, there's some sacrifice involved. But through those challenges comes joy. Through those challenges, maybe not this year, maybe not next year. Oh, but sometime, some way, God will powerfully open up our vision so we can see the harvest of loving relationships that have come because we poured ourselves out and gave from the heart. Will you please pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for the gifts that you've given to us. We thank you for pouring yourself out for us and giving us the courage to pour ourselves out for others. Bring us your peace. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks once again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 each Sunday morning. We'd love to see you here. Grace and peace, y'all.